Thank you, Lord, for sound windows. We came in today to find a big, heavy steel gate had been blown over. It came off its hinges last week, but, three of us, well, Julie and I sort of touched the gate, didn't we? We didn't actually lift it. Andrew was like He-Man. There we go. An attitude of gratitude for men and women of destiny. God's been reminding me so often recently that it's very easy to speak his word. And I've been looking back on messages over the years that I've studied and that I've brought, and how much harder it is to live them. And we need to cultivate in ourselves an attitude of gratitude for whatever season we're in. Happiness means different things to different people. Charles Spurgeon said, "It isn't how much we have, but how much we enjoy that makes happiness." And that's true, because in fact the happiest people don't necessarily have the best of everything. But they just make the best of everything that they have. And I've witnessed this on many occasions. And sadly, I know people who are forever discontented. It doesn't matter what they have. It doesn't matter how they are. Unfortunately, they always look at somebody else and feel discontent, and that's such a sad way to live. It's a choice that we make. It's a choice that only we can decide how we will be. I'm not saying that there aren't days when you feel dreadfully down, or you feel dreadfully sad. There might be days where you wake up deliriously happy. I'm not saying that. Because of the way that we're made, we're full of emotions and hormones and all sorts of other things. But we choose our attitude to the way that we feel and the things that come against us. And it's good to choose an attitude of gratitude. The Bible speaks to us a lot about being content and about being satisfied with what we have and who we are. And in Matthew chapter 6, verse 25, this is one of the first scriptures that I ever read, learned, and really took in, because prior to giving my life to Christ, I was a worrier. And I tried to hide it, but it just eats you up inside. And over the years, God has shown me that yes, I still worry, yes, I still have anxieties, but he's shown me that he is more than capable of carrying them for me. And Matthew 6, verse 25 says, "Therefore I say to you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat, or what you will drink, nor about your body, what you will put on. Is not life more than food, and the body more than clothing?" That's a direct command not to worry about the things of this world. And we think that can be easier said than done when we're faced with demands upon our lives, or demands upon our finances, or demands upon our time that we struggle to meet. But God says, don't worry. And he goes on to say that tomorrow will bring enough worries for its own today. Sufficient for the day is his grace and the worries that come with it. And then in Philippians chapter 4, I love the book of Philippians, and chapter 4 is one of my favourite chapters in the whole Bible, until I find the next one, and then I'll say it again. Philippians 4, chapter 11, the Apostle Paul is talking, and he says, "Not that I speak in regard to need, for I have learned in whatever state I am to be content." That is an immense statement. That word content there means to be contented and self-sufficient. That is, not self-sufficient in he can do everything, but not needing more than he had. It means to be adequate and to need no other assistance than Christ. If you can learn in whatever state you're in, if I can learn in whatever state I'm in, to be content, then we will also know what the world sees as happiness, because with contentment comes peace. And Jesus Christ wants us to have his peace, the peace that passes all understanding, that guards our heart and mind in him. Paul had suffered and was in discomfort more than most of us can even begin to imagine. As a matter of fact, I had a little look, and I'll read you just what he says about himself. Let's have a look. 2 Corinthians 11, he's talking about suffering for Christ. It goes from verse 22, but I'm going to read from verse, let's have a look. I'm going to read from the second part of verse 23. I am more in labours more abundant, in stripes above measure, in prisons more frequently, in deaths often. From the Jews 5 times I received 40 stripes minus 1, that's 39, my maths is good. 3 times I was beaten with rods, once I was stoned. 3 times I was shipwrecked, a night and a day I have been in the deep. In journeys often, in perils of waters, in perils of robbers, in perils of my own countrymen, in perils of the Gentiles, in perils in the city, in perils in the wilderness, in perils in the sea, in perils among false brethren, in weariness and toil, in sleeplessness often, in hunger and thirst, in fastings often, in cold and nakedness. And he goes on to say, and besides the other things, he's got concerned. This man had every reason to say, I can't do this anymore. And yet his words were, I have learned in whatever state I am to be content. And they weren't mere words. Paul could only say this because he'd experienced a real saving grace. He'd built his faith on a relationship and a dependence on Christ and on Christ alone that he had learned and would have been strengthened year upon year. I've said it many times, you can force growth, but you can't force maturity. When I came to the Lord, I believed that Jesus Christ was my Lord and Savior with all my heart, but I had to learn about him. I accepted the fact that the Holy Spirit had sealed me. Until that day that I leave this earth or Jesus returns. I accepted that, but I didn't understand what it meant to be kept, to have that part of God as part of my essence that would link me to him. I read the Bible, but I didn't understand it. There's still things I don't understand. I defy anybody to read the Bible and totally understand it. I don't care how scholarly they are, because it's only the Holy Spirit can bring it to life to you, and it will be different, because it's a living word. It will be different to each of us, even though you could look at the same message and it will be intrinsically the same message and values coming out of it. It will speak to each of us differently, because we're all different. But dependence on Christ alone is something that comes with maturity, and is something that we learn, and is something that we choose. Just as I said, we choose our attitude. We choose where we look for our strength. And we choose either to run to or to run from God in times of struggle. There's a scripture which I know everybody could probably just quote to me, but in Jeremiah 29:11. In my Bible, it has so many red, black, and blue. No, it hasn't got blue, but I've got rings all around different words. Different parts have been broken down. I've underlined it several times. This page is a bit of a mess, but it means something to me. Jeremiah 29:11 says, "For I know the thoughts." That word thoughts means, in Hebrew, the intentions, the plans, the purposes, the contrivances that I have, that I think towards you, says the Lord. Thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you a future and a hope. We know this verse and we often quote it to one another, and we'll write it on cards and we'll say it to people and we'll claim it. And we often speak it almost as a fair weather promise when everything is going well. When the going's good, we like to know that there's a purpose for our lives, that we matter, and that there's something that life holds in store for us. Many, many people are searching to see why they're here. They read their horoscopes, they attend mystics, they attend tarot readings to try and find what is their meaning of life. I know that's a Monty Python sketch, but because sometimes people like to think life is neatly pigeonholed. I'm here for this and everything will fit into this, or this is happening for this reason and then this will happen. We think we have to plan our future. We have to set our goals. We have the choice to decide how and when we live. And we achieve or fail by our own standards. Do you know, even when we believe in God, even when we have faith in Christ, we can struggle not to think this way, because it's how the world that we live in, works. And it affects us all. And it's difficult sometimes. You catch yourself and you think, I'm sorry, Lord. But there is no we in this scripture. For I know the thoughts, the intentions, the plans and the purpose that I think towards you. God doesn't invite us to the planning meeting. He knows the purpose, the true purpose of our lives, and he invites us through Jesus Christ to live for that purpose. And all he asks us to do is to trust him and have faith that he knows what he's doing. That could be easier said than done. Because this is a reality word. The word of God is a living word, but it's a word that you hold on to for real. And you can only hold on to it if you look at it, and if you read it, and if you allow it to speak to you. The reality of this truth is that in life we will face inescapable, gut-level, real situations that will shake our foundations. Because no matter who you are, no matter how charmed your life is, life in this world is a fallen life. We are saved through grace in Jesus Christ. It's nothing that we've earned. It comes through faith. It is by grace you have been saved, through faith. And it is of the Lord, it is not of ourselves, lest any of us should boast. When we can look at and when we can accept that God's word only proclaims the truth, we can accept that everything that he says he will accomplish in our lives. But unless we can accept that God only speaks the truth in its purest form, God is truth, God is love, we will have an unrealistic concept of faith and an unrealistic concept of our destiny in Christ. We've heard of people who name and claim the blessings. We've heard of people, and we see people who believe that because they have done this, this and this, God will do this, this and this for them. That isn't life. That isn't faith. Faith is believing. Faith is trusting. Faith is holding on when you can't see through the darkness. But it's believing that there is a light at the end of the tunnel. God isn't the author of confusion. God doesn't visit us with punishments and watch for our mistakes and our messes that he can say, you deserve this. God doesn't, I've had people saying to me, I think this has happened to me because of such and such that happened so far down the line. Or is my child struggling with this because of I've done this? God is not a God that looks at his children and says, I am going to lay this on you. We live in a fallen world. We live in a world filled with everything from ungodliness, greed, fear, to diseases, to death. There's such wickedness in this world. And God doesn't say that he will take us out of this world. Jesus Christ prayed to his Father to keep us in this world. We are not immune. God doesn't send the struggles. They're not part of his plan for our future, for good, to give us a hope. However, he can use every struggle and every situation to draw us closer to himself if we allow him. You see, we're not made to do anything. You can give your life to Christ and you are saved for eternity. God will never turn his back on you. He's promised never to leave nor forsake you. But it is your choice of whether you want to grow closer to him, walk with him, trust him and seek him in good times and in bad. He isn't ever disappointed in you. I disappoint myself frequently, but God is never disappointed in you. I fail by my own standards regularly, but I can't fail God, because when God looks at me, he sees me through Jesus. And Jesus is perfect. But it's so hard to accept that. And when I see the things that I've picked up along the way and the way that I have let him down, or I feel I haven't done this enough, I haven't done, I should have done this, I should have done that. I need to be reminded God doesn't ask me for any more than my faith, my heart, my love and my trust. He doesn't ask me to do anything more. Sometimes he will prompt us to do things. But our salvation doesn't depend on it. Philippians 4:13, from my favourite chapter. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Sometimes the reality is you can only do all things by crawling on all fours and hanging on with everything that you've got. But God has promised that you will never ever be left alone when you have Christ as your Saviour. The Holy Spirit is like an umbilical cord that connects us to the source of life. At the point of salvation, at that very instant of salvation, God gives us his Holy Spirit to keep us and seal us for himself. But it's the Holy Spirit that will whisper, "Don't give up." It's the Holy Spirit that will whisper a scripture that you may have long forgotten. And he will keep us anchored to the one who loves us more than we deserve, more than we can understand, more than we can realize. Because in our humanness, we can never understand fully God's infinite love. And he knows us better than we know ourselves. How you could know me better than I know myself and still love me, sometimes it's beyond me. But God does. And God's word is an unchanging truth. What we see, what we feel, what we touch is transient. It isn't always true. Circumstances, feelings, emotions change. But God's word is a safety line for our soul. And it's what will keep us alive. It's what keeps us breathing. It's what keeps us hoping when we don't know how. Is the reality of God's word. It is what keeps us when we don't know how. What a wonderful, wonderful Saviour. People around the world are dying for the word of God. And we have it so readily and so easily, but we still often struggle. And I will say, I still often struggle to read it and absorb it and to fully take in. And it's God's love letter to us. It's his story. Our living, breathing word, our vital glimpse into the character of God. And it's there. We can read and relate to the psalmist. When he says, "Whom have I in heaven but you?" I haven't written it down, I think it's Psalm 73. "Whom have I in heaven but you? There is none upon earth that I desire besides you. My flesh and my heart fail, but God is the strength of my heart and my portion forever." It's wonderful to be pointed away from ourselves, away from the people around us, as lovely as you are. When your heart is overwhelmed, when your heart is frightened, when your heart is grieved, when your heart is tired and worn out, when you're weary, God is our sanctuary. So many places he asks us to come to him. He's the only source of strength. He is the only source of help. He is the only source of hope. And this is a beautiful expression of a heart longing for the one who will never fail and never let you go. Whom have I in heaven but you? There's none upon earth that I desire beside you. My flesh and my heart fail, but God is the strength of my heart and my portion forever. Quite often we can become quite introvert when bad things happen, or when struggles come, or even when you're just plain worn out. You become too tired to look outside of yourself, of your own pain, of your own tiredness. And I know that there are times when I've thought, Lord, please don't let there be a knock on the door. Please don't let there be a phone call. I haven't got anything to give. And yet again, God's word tells me that it is in my weakness that he is made strong. And he's reminded me so many times, I'm not asking you to give anything, Linda. All I'm asking you to do is allow me to use you so I can give. And we look at ourselves and think that we have to do things. It's like I said at the beginning, it's because of the way that we're conditioned through living in this world. God said, just keep coming to me. Just keep coming to me. In a world where the words happiness and contentment have come to mean I deserve, or I should have, or I've earned, we can choose to thank God every day for the many blessings we have. A lovely song, Count Your Blessings, count them one by one, and it will surprise you what the Lord has done. It's true. Open your eyes. Before you open your eyes, when you start to become conscious, thank you, Lord. Thank you that today I awoke in a lovely warm bed in a dry house with all this storm going on around us, where there's so much going on in the outside world, and I was in my safe little bubble. Thank you, God, that you've granted me that. Focusing on a gratitude list. Choosing to trust that even the bad bits won't eclipse the promises of God over our lives. Because God has promised he can and he will cause all things to work together for good to those who love God and to those who are the called according to his purpose. That's in Romans 8:28. Contentment isn't a state of permanent comfort and ease. It's a state of peace and happiness that draws on the ease and trust in the knowledge that God holds you, and that you, where you are, isn't necessarily where you will be, but that God goes before you. He is the God of the past, he is the God of the present, he is the God of the future. Jesus Christ said, I'm the same yesterday, today and forever. And it's choosing to focus on the fact that wherever you are now, things will change. They may not change the way that we think they should change, but God is in it with us. And he will turn all things around to good. And there is nothing that can eclipse the purpose and the promise and the hope that he has for our lives. It doesn't matter what life sends against us, what the enemy would send against us, what our own failing bodies would say to us. God is able. There are three truths that I've written down. The first one is, hard times don't erase God's promises. Only be strong and courageous. I will not leave nor forsake you, says in Joshua several times. The second thing is, hard and harsh treatment doesn't escape God's notice. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation, or distress, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or peril, or sword? Nothing escapes God's notice, and nothing is too difficult for him. And the third thing is, heavy tests don't eclipse God's concern. However severe or however hard the test or the difficulty is, even when you're struggling with believing you still have a destiny in Christ, and you could struggle with how, God, how? Philippians 1:6 would tell us, being confident of this very thing, that he who has begun a good work in you will complete it until the day of Jesus Christ. Until he returns, or until I go home, I have a destiny in Christ. You have a destiny in Christ. It is a plan and a purpose that only you can fulfill. God's faithfulness will hold on to you. There's a man called Hudson Taylor, and he was a missionary to China in the 1800s. He formed the China Inland Mission, and he was a man who lived by faith for many, many, many years. Before he went to China, the Lord had laid it upon his heart that he was to ask nobody for anything, he was to pray for everything. He lived by faith in China for many years. He saw many souls converted. And he said, it doesn't matter how great the pressure is. What really matters is where the pressure lies. Whether it comes between you and God or presses you nearer to his heart. Jeremiah 29:11, for I know the thoughts, I know the intentions, I know the plans, I know the purposes that I think towards you, saith the Lord. Thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you an expected end. That's the King James Version. And that word expected, in Hebrew, it literally means a cord, as an attachment. An expectancy, a hope, to live for something, to long for something. It comes from another Hebrew word meaning to bind together, to tarry, to wait for. I have thoughts of peace to give you an expected end, to give you a continuous attachment to me, God says. That nothing can break, there is nothing that can snatch you out of God's hand. Circumstances in life leave scars. I had bought this new notebook yesterday to write my notes in. And God uses all sorts of strange things to just prompt me to look at different things. And when I'm studying, I also talk to myself a lot. And there was a big sticker on the front of my notebook. And I went to peel it off, and it always happens, doesn't it? The front comes off and the sticky bit on the back stays there. If I spent 15 minutes, that's not an understatement, trying to scrape off the sticky bits because I couldn't have it defacing the front cover of my book. And I thought, why do these little things that are necessary to tell me what how much the book is and what it is, whatever, why do these little things have to leave a mark? And God said, it's like your life. Sometimes even the little things that you think, oh my goodness, why? They leave a mark. God says, I see the marks. We can look at our scars and we can look at our marks and we can remember the awful time that perhaps we went through, or we can remember the accident that we had that put it there, or we can remember, you know, why it occurred. God wants us to look at the marks and the scars because they're not all external, some of them are internal. And he wants us to see them as times when he has worked things through for us. And he said, those marks and those scars show me who you are, what you've been through, where you've come from, and I know where you're going. And it may be that we've got many more marks and scars to come. But he says, I know each and every one. And when I look at them, I read them and see what I've done in you. And I know my promise over your life, and I know that sometimes it's hard for you to hold on to that promise. Because when it's dark and when it's painful, All we want is out. But maybe God's like I was yesterday, gently rubbing that sticky, yucky stuff that was blemishing my notepad. He's at work by his Holy Spirit, and he is easing, he is soothing, he is ministering. God is with us, God has been with us, God will go before us. Through history, through our story, God has never left or forsaken those who are in Christ Jesus. He has an expected outcome. He has an attachment to our lives for the rest of our lives. A hope that nothing can diminish. Oh Lord, that we would hold on to that hope. We need to remind ourselves daily of it. And we need to choose an attitude of gratitude. I had asked if we could sing at the end of this. We have an anchor that holds the soul, keeps the soul, sorry, steadfast and sure while the billows roll. Fastened to the rock that cannot move, grounded firm and deep in the Saviour's love. The Lord spoke to me when I studied this and reminded me that he shares in our joy, he shares in our sadness, but we can bring a smile and a blessing to his face when we just say thank you. When we just say, Lord, I don't know how, but I know you are. You're there. Thank you. Thank you that I can open my eyes and I know there's a blue sky beyond those storm clouds. Thank you that I can look on everybody who's here and know the love and the friendship and support. Thank you that I can pray for those who are not here and know that God hears my prayer. He hears our prayer. And in whatever way that he sees fit, he answers that prayer. Thank you that nothing can ever stop the hope that we have in him. Lord, thank you today that you've reminded me that I can remind us that your arm is not too short to save, your ear hears. That your heart is forever towards us, and there is nothing that is impossible with you. What is impossible with men is possible with you. Help our hearts and our minds to turn to you and trust you in whatever the answers will be to the circumstances we find ourselves in. Because you see the end from the beginning. You're the Alpha and the Omega. And Lord, grow us in our faith. We're careful in the things that we ask for because we know that we don't always know what we ask for. But we do need to know you more deeply, more closely, and to know your heart more. We long to feel your heartbeat. We long to see things as you do, feel things as you do, as painful as that is. But above everything, we ask that you will help us to hold on to the gratitude that we have for our salvation, that nothing can erase the joy and the contentment of being found in Christ Jesus. Thank you for your Holy Spirit that keeps us attached to you, that keeps us living, breathing, and hoping. And Father, I ask that you will seal these words in our hearts, that anything I have said will disappear, will just go, but your living word will build us up in Christ Jesus. I can do all things through Christ which strengthen me, and I will begin by singing the praises of our Lord and Saviour. We love him because he first loved us. And we thank you for that, Lord. Amen. Okay. Turn it off.